praying for us and supporting us. You've been keeping up, or Pastor has been keeping up with us. Your church has been keeping up with us, I think, from the beginning. But here in the last few years, you guys have actually started took us on for support. And as soon as he had called me, Pastor Skowski had called me, or emailed me rather, and told me that you'd made the decision to support us financially, we were right on the brink of purchasing a building for the church there in Conrobot. That deal actually ended up falling through. But to me, it was just confirmation that another confirmation, when you get into situations where you're about to have more financial strain upon you, the Lord can supply the need. And it was just a blessing to me personally that we were right at the brink. And the only reason we didn't purchase the property was the advice of the lawyer herself, the attorney, counseled us not to go through with it, and therefore we didn't go through with it. However, at that particular time, it just came as an interesting and unique time that you all would take us on financially. And we're still saving money, we're still raising money, the people are giving, and for the purpose of hopefully finding a piece of property and building on it, or else buying an older house or something and renovating it. So pray about that. That's a desire that we have, if it be the Lord's will, is to meet in a public place at the moment. And we've been meeting since 2014 in the same place, but it's in the former pastor's yard, which is not a huge deal amongst the Roma people and their communities. However, there can be advantages to having a public place. Maybe there would be more people, there would be more room. Maybe the Lord would see fit to enlarge our ministry if we could get a public place. So I covet your prayers for us in that matter. And but anyway, just wanted to thank you again for taking us on, partnering with us, helping us out, praying for us. God's doing what He does best. We simply need to be faithful. We need to walk before Him humbly, and just seek to be used of Him, and He'll do the work. He'll give the increase. One sows, one waters, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. And it's encouraging to see, to me, tonight it's encouraging to see more young people here than just older folk. Not that there's anything wrong with older folk. A church ought to be filled with all groups of people, all classes, all age groups. But, well, while we're young, you know, it's just like it says there in Ecclesiastes, that while in your youth, if you remember your Creator in the days of your youth, that you would. He's exhorting us, Solomon did, that we would think on our Creator while we have our youth, and give our the strength of our youth to our Creator. Amen? We would not regret it. I got saved and born again at age 19. It could have been earlier. I know it could have been earlier. I distinctly remember God visiting me, the Holy Ghost speaking to me one Sunday morning during the preaching, 14, 15, 16 years old, something like that, between 14 and 16 years old. And I wasn't ready to commit my youth to the Lord, unfortunately. However, God did give me some grace and allowed me to suffer a little longer without Him and go through some more torments of fear and not knowing where I would be if I was to suddenly pass away or something was to happen to me. So I'm grateful for the grace of God and that I did finally come to know Christ in 1996. I was 19 years old, still a young man. I'm still so young to this day. So thank God for the privilege to serve Christ, no matter what age you are. Malachi, I just want to read one verse of Scripture here. And then I want to read a Scripture in Psalms 135. Listen, my second oldest daughter, We have three sons now and three daughters, but Alyssa, she's our middle daughter, 14 years old. We started this some time ago, getting up in the mornings and reading Psalms and Proverbs together, and we read Psalms 134. I want to read a verse to you, Psalms 135, verse 4. But look at me and look with me here in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, in verse 17, "And they shall be mine, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." I'm reminded of another verse here in relation to some rewards that we can obtain in this Christian life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'd like to preach on peculiar people tonight. I'd like to mention a few things about peculiar people. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so they're Malachi, right? Malachi 3:17 talks about those jewels that God has, that He's going to put them together. He's going to make up His jewels. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says here in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's the groundwork. That's the foundation. We have no other foundation. If Christ be not your foundation, you don't have a foundation. If you've not believed on Him as your Savior, totally, plus nothing, minus nothing. If He's not your foundation upon whom you stand, you're like the man in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus explained when He gave that parable, gave that example, that the man that builds his house upon sand. What a foolish thing it would be for a man to build his house upon sand, close to water. There's sooner or later, there's going to be a storm. The waves are not always going to be still. The waves are not always going to just reach a certain point on the beach. They're going to, eventually it's going to have a storm, and the wind's going to blow hard and cause the waves to create huge waves and blow up on the shore, blow up into the grass and up to the houses. And what a foolish thing to do. What a foolish thing it would be for a man to go through the trouble, to go through the trouble and the expense and the concentration to build a house on the sand just to have it washed away sooner or later. But can you imagine living our life and dedicating our life and spending your whole life doing whatever you'd have you do and doing this, you know, having the expenses that you have in a lifetime and doing the things that you do in a lifetime and then never taking heed to God's Word. Never taking heed for eternity's sake. And when life's end comes, and it will, there is no discharge in this war. We will all, unless the Lord comes back first, we will all come to an end. My father, last year, he was 64 years old. It was unexpected, but he came to his life's end last year at 64 years old. Had a stroke, three strokes, and took him out of this world. It's sad, but thank God he knew Christ as his Savior, and I have hope that sooner or later I'll see him again. But can you imagine a person never taking heed to God's Word, never giving it any attention, but only giving attention to his or her desires and what they want and where they want to go and what they want to do and not heeding the Creator's instruction for their life? That would be a very foolish thing. You know, Jesus spoke of Judas Iscariot. Right, Judas Iscariot, he said it would have been better if that man had never been born. Right? Do you remember that? Could that not be said for any person that dies without God? Could that not be better for any man or woman that dies without knowing God? It would have been better for them not to have lived than to them to have died and wound up in hell for all eternity. That's not God's will for any of us. But other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, our foundation. He's our foundation. He's that rock upon which we build our life, build our home spiritually. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, jewels, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Those, that gold, that silver, that precious stone, those are the things that are going to resist the fire of God's Word. God's Word is, He said, it's as a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. He said, it's as a fire. It's like a fire. And when we stand before Christ one day, sooner or later, He's going to try us. As His children, we have the foundation. We're on the rock. There's no fear of death for us. There's no fear of condemnation for us. There's no fear of hell for us. But how did we build our house? Did we add to our life? Did we add any gold to our life? Did we add any silver to our home, our spiritual home? Did we add any spiritual? Did we add any spiritual jewels to our home? Jewels, those precious stones. I've heard it, other preachers say, and think myself too, persuaded myself that those precious jewels, perhaps they are the souls of men. Perhaps they are the souls of men that you and I affect for the eternal good. That we affect for the eternal good. Praise God that 14 souls that we have affected for the eternal good. And not us only. Not us only. Other people have had an effect in these people's lives. Those that got baptized. Those, our children, our own children. But, you know, God has put people in our lives and even in our children's lives that have had a good spiritual illustration, a good spiritual influence through our children too. Not just my wife and I. But those precious stones that we can acquire, if we will be a soul winner, if we will be conscious about our witness before the Lord, before men, maybe God will allow us to build some precious stones and add some precious stones to our foundation. That'd be a blessed thing. That'd be a blessed thing for us, each and every one of us, not just the pastor and his family, not just missionaries, but you that sit in the seats, that God will use you to reach somebody else too. Any of y'all in college? Y'all in college? That God will use y'all. That God will use you. You guys. Y'all down south. You guys. Use guys. That God will use you guys to spread the gospel and to reach some other college student for Christ. I tell you, that would be an awesome reward that you would have in this life and in the next. There's a man that I worked for or worked with when I worked on airplanes. We worked in the service center together. His name is Matt Crouch. If Matt's listening by some chance, you know, he still calls me. It's been years. It's been 2000. How long has it been? It's been 15 years since we first met. But while we were out there, I was trying to be a witness to him. Right before Christmas, we went on Christmas vacation. My pastor had preached a good message one Sunday morning, and I bought a few copies of that message and gave them out to some of the guys at work before we left on Christmas break. And one of those guys that I gave out, his name was Matt Crouch. And while we were on vacation for those 2 weeks, what's happening here? I'm getting too close or something. Oh, I'm wearing this. I shouldn't be wearing this if I'm standing here, right? Oh, and I'm going to just... How about now? Okay. Maybe that'll be better. The cordless mic is here. We had trouble finding it earlier. But while we were on Christmas break, the Lord just really impressed Matt on my heart. And I kept praying for him. When we got back, after being gone 2 weeks, he was definitely concerned.
about his life. He had listened to that message. Long story short, he got saved. He got saved, and the Lord immediately began to change his life for the good. He was living with a young lady, just shacked up with her. Got married. That's the honorable thing to do. The Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. But marriage is honorable in all. He got married to the lady, to the young lady. They have had three daughters together now. And he's still serving the Lord. He's still going to church. The whole family's going to church now. We're still in communication. He thanked me not too long ago. He just remembering how and where God brought him and how God used me. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm no more. I'm nobody special. But the Lord used me on the job to be a witness to him for the eternal good. And he's eternally grateful. And I get to be a partaker of that. I get to share in his joy. I tell you, he's a jewel for me. He's a jewel that I, by God's grace, not by my own efforts, but by God's grace, have added to my foundation of Jesus Christ. I hope I've added some silver, and I hope I've added some gold. And I hope the Lord will allow me and my family and, yea, you that are listening tonight, that he'll allow us to add this gold and silver and precious stones to our foundation. Psalms chapter 135. Peculiar people. I thank the Lord that today, during the traveling, I had two flights, one from Knoxville, Tennessee, to Charlotte, North Carolina. I sat by a young man, 24 years old, was going to Baltimore, Maryland, for an interview, and he had played in college. He had played college baseball as a pitcher for Middle Tennessee, I think, a college team somewhere around Knoxville, Tennessee, and he was a pitcher. But I was able to talk to him. He said he professed to have gotten saved at age 5, but while he was in college, he realized that he wasn't the Christian, or he wasn't being the Christian that he professed to be, and he committed himself wholeheartedly to the Lord according to his testimony. But I was able to talk to him some and give him one of these prayer cards, and that was the first opportunity to be of some kind of spiritual influence to someone today during the travel. And the second time, from Charlotte, North Carolina, to here, to Newark, I was sitting beside this lady. She was in the other row. And I noticed that, and I guess you shouldn't watch what people do, you know, you really shouldn't. You shouldn't be like eavesdropping, and you shouldn't be reading their text messages and stuff like that. But, you know, you happen to see stuff, and I just, you know, happened to wonder. She pulled up her phone and pulled up her camera, and she was zooming up on a book. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, I wonder if that's a Bible. So she zooms up on it more, and sure enough, it was a Bible. So, thought came to my mind, here, my Bible's in my book bag. Why don't I just offer my Bible to her so that she doesn't have to strain her eyes to read her Bible on her camera, but can read, take my Bible. So I offered it to her, and she's like, yeah, thank you. So I'm thankful for those two occasions. I'm thankful for those two opportunities to be of some small, as I would think of it, two small ways to be a spiritual influence to someone, to be peculiar. Not everybody would do that. Not everybody. But Christians are peculiar. Psalms 135 in verse 4, and our daughter Alyssa and I, we read this morning. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. His peculiar treasure. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And yet God looks upon us. We are made in his image. And he thinks very highly of us, matter of fact. He doesn't love our sin. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. And yet God loves mankind. God loves mankind. Matter of fact, God loved mankind so much that he was willing to come here to descend to this sin-cursed world and be lied against, to be spit upon, to be accused of breaking laws that he did not break, to be accused of his parents being out of wedlock, illegitimate child. He was accused of breaking the Sabbath when he never once broke the Sabbath. He was spit upon. His hair and he had a beard. He was a Jew. The Lord had a beard. And they pulled his hair out of his face. They snatched his hair. They grabbed his beard and snatched the hair out of it. Out of his beard or out of his face. They spit upon him. They accused him of ungodly things. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails and ultimately crucified him. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he loved us, that he was willing to suffer for us, that he was willing to become sin who knew no sin. We've known sin ever since we were little, but he knew no sin. He was willing to take on the sin of the world and say, "Why hast thou forsaken me? Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God turned a back on him. The Father turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ for a time being because he became sin for us who knew no sin. That's how much he loved mankind. Can you imagine a person? Can you imagine a man or woman when they stand before the Creator that they didn't care about that? They didn't care about the sacrifice that God made? They didn't care about the sacrifice or the love that God showed toward them? Can you only imagine what God's going to do? Can you imagine how God feels and what he's going to do to that individual, man or woman, when that individual stands before him having despised the cross, having despised the sacrifice and love of God? There'll be no other place for that individual but hellfire. No other place. But it says here that God sees us as his peculiar treasure. First mention of peculiar is in Exodus chapter 19 in verse 5. A little bit about peculiar things. Peculiar, people that are peculiar. We ought to be peculiar according to God's word. Not strange, not weird. Not extremists from one side to the, one extreme to the other. But according to God, and according to what's written in the Scriptures, we should be peculiar. God wants us to be peculiar. He wants us to be light and salt to this dark world. In Exodus chapter 19, Exodus 19 verse 5, the Bible says, "Now therefore, if ye will, obey my voice indeed." There's it's conditional, brethren. It's conditional, ladies and gentlemen. It's up to you. It's up to me whether or not we will serve the Lord. It's up to us whether or not we will desire to be, number one, saved and choose his love and choose his way above our own. But secondly, once we've done that, it's our will that we would walk with him, that we would do as he'd have us do, as youth, as teenagers, as young adults, as older people, as old people. It's up to us what we're going to do. He says this is conditional. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then, so if you choose to do this, if you desire to do this, you'll make your mind up to do this. He says, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about that chosen generation. That chosen generation. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you want to open there with me, or just I'll promise to read it directly from the book here. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, if you have chosen him, if you have heeded his word, then he calls you, he likens you to a wise person. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The local church tonight, the young brother pray tonight and thank God for the local church. Thank God for this local assembly. I thank God for these local assemblies that we've had the privilege to be in the presence of since we've been home. And since we've been home on this furlough, you all, this is the 38th church that we've been to since April 28th. 38th church tonight. 38 local churches that assemble together, that love God, that love His Word, that are part of this peculiar people, this nation, this peculiar nation that God has made, that He has formed, that He is forming into the person and as the person of Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It says, to be a peculiar person, you're going to have to come out of the darkness and walk in the light of God's Word. Amen. Titus chapter 2 mentions about the peculiar also, this word peculiar. Titus chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Actions speak louder than words. Actions always speak louder than words. Not that we shouldn't talk. We ought to proclaim it, proclaim the gospel, proclaim the truth with our words. But we need to do the same with our actions, obviously, also. Philippians. I'm going to just keep you there. Just keep you in Philippians now. 10 quick things as I flip through Philippians. I just recently read Philippians again, and now I'm in Colossians in my daily Bible reading. But as I read through Philippians again, anybody read their Bible all the way through tonight? All the way through, from Genesis to Revelation. You guys have read it all the way through. How many times? Once? Twice? Five times. That's good. Praise God. Brother Kirill Asenov, he was the one that got baptized in 2019 on the presentation. I'm standing there with him in the water. He's got a white shirt on, maybe if you remember. He's on the prayer card. I'm going to show you. Right here. Kirill Asenov got baptized last year. He wrote me just since we've been back, wrote me this year and said that he read his Bible all the way through. He said, I did it, Brother Danny. Pastor Danny, prochetuk vechi. And I said, oh, slava na Boga. But what he said, Pastor Danny, I read my Bible all the way through. Al bitie do okrubeni, from Genesis to Revelation. Sialata Biblia, the whole Bible. Prochete toy. He read his Bible all the way through. New Christian. But that's what new Christians do. Amen. That's what Christians do. They read God's Word all the way through. If you haven't done it, do it. Start it somewhere. Go ahead. Start reading your Bible. It'll be a blessing to you. Familiarize yourself with what God has said from Genesis to Revelation. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Watch this. Grace, well, verse 1, yes, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. You know, peculiar people have the peace of God. Peculiar people. And now, biblically peculiar people have the peace of God. And the peace of God passeth all understanding. We've been through some tough situations this year, and the world has changed in a short few months. There's a lot of changes that have happened. Last year, nobody was wearing masks. Nobody was worried about viruses. Nobody was worried about sicknesses like they are today, this year. But now so many people are frantic about it. Everybody's wearing masks. Not that there's anything wrong with wearing masks. I have my mask too. But should we be in fear about it? Or should we be in faith? Should we be trusting God to take care of us? And we can be precautious. You know, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety's of the Lord. Safety's of the Lord, you know. If you're going to get sick, you can be precautious, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you're not going to get sick. Some people say that masks don't even keep us from getting it. That's just out there, you know. But wear it. We can wear it. And I guess it's better than nothing, right? It's better than nothing. That's the way it seems, and that seems to make sense to me too. But peculiar people have God's peace. Philippians chapter 1, in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. You know, prayer, peculiar people are people of prayer. Peculiar people are people of prayer. Matter of fact, there's... That's probably one of the strongest spiritual pieces of armor that you and I have. It's to get on our knees, aware if we can, sitting down, being still, and seeking our God in prayer. And making our requests with thanksgiving. Being thankful to Him for what He's done for us and the things that He's given us. Amen. The spiritual and the physical things that God has blessed us with. But making our requests known unto Him. Peculiar people are people of prayer. First Philippians there in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. He began a good work in me. God, the Lord, began a good work in me back in July of 1996. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know what? Peculiar people are patient people. We can be patient. We should be patient. Little by little, God's working in us and working in our lives to make us the people that He would have us be. If we yield ourselves to Him. If we say, yea, Lord, yes, I'll walk with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be the man. I want to be the person that you would have me be. He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Peculiar people are to the praise of God. Praise God. You have a greater purpose for living. You and I have a greater purpose for living, that we could be to the praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things, verse 12, which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. What happened to Paul? What happened to Paul? He went to prison. He was persecuted. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Peculiar people are persecuted. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yeah. Let's just make our minds up that just because we haven't gone through a lot of suffering, just because we hadn't gone through any suffering, maybe you have, but I haven't gone anything worth through any suffering worth bragging about or talking about. That doesn't mean we won't. It doesn't mean we won't. Peculiar people and people in Christ, God's people, suffer persecution. We always have, brethren, sisters, young people. Christians have always suffered persecution through every age, throughout every generation. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, starting at verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the Lord, to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what peculiar people do? Preach. Peculiar people preach. They speak about the Lord. We can't help but speak about the Lord. It's in us. It has to come out eventually. Was it Jeremiah? I think it was Jeremiah that said, because he was persecuted. You know, he said, I'll not speak in the name of the Lord anymore. And yet he said the word of God was in him as a fire. And he said, I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, I think is what he said. He's like, I just couldn't keep it in. The word of God was in my heart, he said. And he said he tried to be quiet about it because it just got him into trouble in the day in which he lived. Is this for me? I'm going to drink it afterwards. And he didn't speak about the Lord for a short time, but then after some time passed, he had to open up his mouth and give him the word. He had to tell him what God had said. Peculiar people have to preach. Philippians chapter 2, watch this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, if you were to go through Philippians, you could surely find other things. But these are the few things that I found. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Peculiar people are to him, are able to live in God's good pleasure. What a blessing it was after the Lord saved my soul. After I believed that gospel, trusted Christ as my Savior back in July of 96, that I could actually please God now. That I could be to His pleasure. What a blessed thing that was to learn. Chapter 3 of Philippians. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you, and to me indeed it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he said he had a reason to be proud about his heritage, about his upbringing, the fact that he was a Jew. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He said he had more reasons to justify himself, had more reasons to brag on himself, and yet he didn't. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Peculiar people don't praise the accomplishments of their flesh, but rather they praise the Lord who allows them to do the things that they do. For God's grace in our life. Chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, peculiar people, this is what they're doing. This is the daily, one day after another, pressing towards the prize that God would have to give them. An upward motion, a constant upward motion towards that prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15. Lastly, I want to say this. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, peculiar people are perfect. Not in the flesh, not in this body, but in the Spirit. We are perfect because of Christ. We're perfect. And because we are, ladies and gentlemen, because we that know Christ and have heeded His word are perfect, you know, in spiritually speaking, He desires us to be perfect physically also, to walk with Him, to be as His Heavenly Father, to strive in that direction, that we might strive for perfection in our walk with Him, in our obedience to God. Okay, I hope this has been of some help to you, at least a small amount. It has been an encouragement to you to be the peculiar person that God would have you be. Okay, amen. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord, preacher. I appreciate the message tonight. Thank you for delivering that to us. Appreciate a great deal. Pastor Mushers, come on down here. We'll pass out some prayer cards tonight. Don't forget the youth activity on Saturday. Those who are maybe watching on the internet, youth activity, 4 o'clock, be here. And it'll be a fun time. You guys take those, hand everybody out. Prayer card. Except the guy in the front row, he doesn't need one. Take that prayer card, put it somewhere in your Bible, maybe stick it on, you have a wall at home, you keep these prayer cards, maybe on your refrigerator someplace. We need to pray for the missionaries, pray for the Kessler family as they are working in the country of Bulgaria. And it's an amazing thing to move, leave home and family, go to a foreign land and learn a foreign language. And no language is an easy language. Every language is difficult to learn. And no matter where you go in this world, they're all complex and they're forms. And that when you hear the languages of Europe, especially, Eastern Europe, they all sound very similar to us who don't speak them. But a lot of, you hear the Z's and the other things going on in there. And you can, it only sounds very, I hear people speaking Polish. I grew up with Polish. It sounds very similar. It's very different, obviously, but same sounds almost, and you can tell it's just amazing. But God created all those languages, and God gives us wisdom to understand those languages and speak them. So praise God for that. If you need an envelope tonight for your record of giving, please raise your hand. The men come by and bring you an envelope. If you want to make a donation to the preacher, you can do that online as well through Tithely, and a way to give there as well. And Abby makes her way to the piano here. We had two Abbeys here Sunday, the Absters, and her Miss Jillian drove her home Sunday night. That's a woof. Did you recover from that drive yet? No, God love it. The things your mother does for you, do you appreciate this? Did you tell her thank you? Amen. Just double checking there. All right, let's pray. We'll ask God to bless his offering, use to meet the needs here and to help our church. And Evan, would you please pray for our offering? Faithful, be here Sunday. God bless his faithfulness. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday as well. Pray for all the services. Pray for God's doing here. Pray for our country and the safety with this COVID thing. It came out. There's a whistleblower who used to work for the Chinese government, came out recently, and they've been banned from Twitter. Imagine that. For saying basically this was released purposely by the Chinese government. This is basically germ warfare. And she was on the news last night and explaining this. And, of course, they banned her from a lot of social media sites because they all work for the communists anyway. So pray. A lot of strange things going on in our world. God knows what's going on. Pray for. Just be faithful. Remember, this is the Titanic, folks. It's already hit the iceberg. We're trying to get folks on the boat and get them into heaven. That's what it's all about. We ain't trying to fix this world. We're trying to get Jesus is going to do that someday when he comes back, but get people saved. So be faithful. And let's pray for our services. And let's ask God to take us home safely tonight. And Father, bless the time now. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Help the preacher. Give him a good night's rest. Give him safety as he flies home tomorrow. Bless his family. And And Lord, just help them as they drive around the country and use them as they go from church to church and as they return back to Bulgaria. By your will, come November, Lord, take care of them and bless them. Bless our church here. Continue to help the people. Continue to give them working opportunities and increase their salaries that we may give as you have blessed us, that we may continue to support your work to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out around the world and to all these places. We bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.